Good morning, CPC. As you might imagine, I'm feeling a little bit nostalgic today. So I want to start with a story that took place about 35 years ago. I was a young seminary student in Denver, and I was invited by the elders at CPC to come out to the Bay Area and interview for a position, a job at CPC. My responsibilities would be mainly to oversee our community group ministry. So after meeting with the elders, they had Lynn and I meet with all the community group leaders. And I was asked to give a teaching, which would be part of how they would decide if I was a good fit for the job and for the church. By the way, based on a couple of sermons of mine that they had heard, they told me they did not see me playing much of a role in the preaching ministry at CPC. They just weren't convinced that was one of my gifts, and at the time, I was fine with that. So Lynn and I met all the community group leaders and their spouses. There must have been about 35 of us bunched together in Jeff Farrar's family room. And it was in that meeting that I felt God confirmed my calling to CPC. I taught from one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It's found in the very, very back of Paul's letter to the Romans. I've always liked the back page of letters and magazines the best. In fact, as a kid growing up, I subscribed to Sports Illustrated, and I always turned to the back page first because there was a segment there called Faces in the Crowd. That column ran from the year I was born, 1956, to 2006, and it featured a handful of amateur athletes with a photo and a short blurb of their accomplishments. Through the years, over 15,000 athletes and their accomplishments were recognized. And these were people no one would have ever known about if they hadn't been written about there. I think that's why I've kept coming back to Romans chapter 16. In this last part of his grand letter to the Romans, Paul recognizes the faces in the crowd. He recognizes those individual people who mattered so much to him in his life and his ministry. When I think of 34 years at CPC, that's what I think about. I think about the people. I think about the faces. I want you to listen as I read Romans chapter 16, verses 3 to 16. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend, Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ Jesus before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Perseus, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who's been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. Well, I hope you don't feel too guilty if your heart wasn't moved during the reading of God's word today. It's not very interesting, is it? I mean, it's a list. It's a list of greetings, a list of names. Let's be honest, some very strange names And this is a passage of Scripture so ordinary and mundane that it's often overlooked. It's kind of like a graduation ceremony. After the speeches and the songs, you know, they pass out the diplomas, calling the name of every single graduate one by one. I was there at each one of my own kids' graduations. Being a Mitchell meant there were a good number of names that came before theirs. And we'd wait. We'd wait through what for us was a long list of nobodies until that one name was read that was a somebody to us. As Paul reads out this list of names, it might seem to us like a bunch of nobodies. Some of us might want to sort of check out. Who are these people? What do they have to do with me? But again, sitting here today, reflecting on 34 years of ministry at CPC, I think about names like these. I think about the people, the faces in the crowd. I think of the people I've had the privilege to meet and work with over the many years of ministry here. I think many of you who have invited Lynn and I into some of the most important and intimate moments of your lives. I think about the little things that define these people. Not the big things that lots of people see, but the little things, the in-between things. Maybe it's a note. Maybe it's a meal. Maybe it's just a handshake or a hug. It's those things that define us as people who genuinely care for others. It's almost like you need to read between the lines in a list of names like this. As we do that, we should ask ourselves, what does this teach us about our life together as God's people? I mean, what really matters in our life together? I want you to notice first that Paul uses the word greet 17 times here. And it shows us that greetings are important in our life together. Simple greetings mattered to Paul. Throughout the Bible, greetings are not just meaningless preliminaries. They're sacred. When the angel was sent to Mary, the first words out of his mouth were, "Greetings, favored one." Again, greetings are important in our life together. Think of what life would be like without any greetings. You're coming home from work. It's been a long day. You look forward to seeing your family. But as soon as you walk through the door, nothing is said to acknowledge your arrival. Everyone knows you're home, but nothing changes. The same thing happens when you go to work the next morning. Nothing is said when you arrive. Work just resumes where it left off the day before. There's no pausing to recognize your presence. In a world like that, there'd be no goodbyes either. We would just kind of flow in and out of one another's lives, our presence or absence being unacknowledged. I think about this in a marriage. When a husband or a wife goes off to work in the morning, how important it is to pause and look into each other's eyes and say, "I love you. I hope your day is good." And when you meet again, pause, give each other a kiss, welcome each other again into your presence. The hellos and the goodbyes of life are the punctuation of life that bring meaning. They mark the stops and the starts and the places to pause. And without them, people are never really noticed. When God's people gather together, greetings are important. If our preaching and praying and singing are not punctuated with greetings, things become cold and businesslike. No one should be able to come and go from a meeting of God's people without someone acknowledging their presence. Paul greets about 30 people here in all. Each one he greets by name. So here are 30 names we wouldn't have otherwise known about. It reminds us that in our life together, it's all about real people with real names. I get called a lot of things. Most people just call me Mark. A few people call me Pastor. Some even call me Dr. Mitchell. But those people who've known me the longest always call me Mitch. That's my nickname. When someone calls me Mitch, I know they know me well. And I always perk up. I remember several years ago, I finished a sermon here at CPC, and I heard someone call out my name, Mitch! I hadn't seen that guy for 20 years. We had gone to high school together. But I immediately knew who it was. I wonder how many of these names were nicknames that Paul used affectionately. I'm sure some of these people he knew quite well. Others, perhaps he had never met. But most of these names are of people we might not have known anything about if they weren't on this list. We would have never known about Junius or Stachys, or these twin sisters named Tryphena and Tryphosa. See, names were important to Paul. It wasn't enough to just greet the whole church. He wanted to greet individuals, so he mentions their names. Names are important. In the third letter of John, he writes to an elder of the church named Gaius. And at the very end of the letter, he says to Gaius, he says, greet the friends there by name. What an intriguing thing to say. Perhaps John has in mind something Jesus said once. Jesus once said, I'm the good shepherd who calls his own sheep by name. Jesus calls us by name. He calls us personally, one at a time, into his flock. What kind of salvation would it be if Jesus just called us en masse with no knowledge of our name? Names are so important. The book of Revelation says that one day Jesus will give us a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. When I first came to CPC, we were a church of about 350 people. We met over at Bowditch Middle School right here in Foster City. Lynn and I arrived here with a five-year-old daughter and another one due to arrive any day. We were about as wet behind the ears as a ministry couple could ever be. We thought, honestly, that we'd stay a couple of years and then we'd move on to bigger and better things. But through the years, every single time we thought about leaving, we couldn't do it, and we stayed. And honestly, I think a big part of the reason we stayed is because of the people with names. The church is made up of people with names. We are a flock, not a herd. And if we lose sight of the importance of people with names, we miss our calling as a church. When we recognize names, we're saying, you are important. I'm glad it's you that's here, not someone else. See, these names meant something to Paul. These were his friends. Believe me, Paul was no romantic, but several of these people he calls dear friend, or as another translation puts it, he calls them my beloved. This was an expression of affection. And expressions of affection are important in our life together. In verse 5, he says, greet my dear friend, Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. You almost have to read between the lines. I imagine Paul thinking, listen, I didn't sleep a wink that night. I wondered if anyone was even listening to me preach that sermon. But Epaphroditus listened. He believed. He came to faith. I just love that guy. Paul wanted his affection for them to spill over into an affection for one another. So he says towards the end, greet one another with a holy kiss. Why did he have to say that? Paul certainly didn't know about COVID-19, but this was the distinct way Christians greeted one another. It was a way of showing their love in Christ. And it broke down barriers between them, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female. When I was training for the ministry, Ray Stedman brought me along with him to Brazil for 2 weeks. He was in his 60s, I was in my early 20s. The gap between us in both age and maturity was quite wide. But when Ray woke up in the morning and he saw me, he always did the same thing. He always walked over to me, sometimes in his underwear, and he gave me a hug and he kissed me on the cheek. And then he always looked me in the eyes and he said, "I love you, Mark." I mean, honestly, it made me a little bit uncomfortable, but I've never forgotten his affection. It like closed the gap between us. Physical affection doesn't always come naturally to me, but I so appreciate the people who have gotten past that and give me a hug or even a kiss when they see me, a holy kiss. When I look back at my Christian experience, I see that every time I have seen a significant move of the Holy Spirit, it's been marked by a warm affection among God's people. I met the Lord during the Jesus movement. When I walked into an evangelical church for the very first time in my life, the thing that struck me the most was how these people loved one another. And one of the ways that was seen was in their affection for one another. There should be a spirit of tenderness and warmth when we meet together. You know that time in the service when we greet one another? Maybe it's a little bit uncomfortable for you. But it might be one of the most significant times in the service. When we greet one another with warm and godly affection, it's a lot more than just small talk. Those greetings are the mark of true Christian love. It's also important in our life together to express appreciation. As you look through this list, you see that Paul honors and affirms these people by recognizing the contributions that they've made. He says things like this: "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their house." So this godly couple had been with Paul on many of his travels. We know that from the book of Acts. Like Paul, they were tent makers. And here we see that they often opened their home as a place for the church to meet. They were a hospitable couple. And then he says, "Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test." We don't know what Apelles went through, but he passed through the fire and he was found faithful. And then Paul says, "Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord." These were likely twin sisters. And this is kind of great. Their names literally mean dainty and delicate, but they worked hard. Isn't that great? And then he says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has also been a mother to me." I mean, can't you see it? Can't you see this woman mothering Paul? I'll bet Paul stayed in her home. I'll bet Paul got up in the morning, and knowing Paul, he wanted to hit the road early. But she made him sit down and stay for breakfast. Paul remembered that. And he says, "Rufus, tell your mother hello." And she was a mother to me as well. I lost my mother when I was 33. That's why I'm so thankful for the many mothers I've had here at CPC over the years. I think of one of my favorites. Her name was Gladys. Some of you may remember Gladys. Gladys always called me Dr. Mitchell. And she'd send Lynn and I off to pastors' conferences so we could be around teachers she wanted to emulate. She'd walk up to me after church and she'd say, "Dr. Mitchell, do you know Dr. Sproul? I'd like to send you and Lynn to Dr. Sproul's conference." I'm pretty sure Gladys was trying to get my theology straightened out by Dr. Sproul, but we went, and we still miss Gladys. She was like a mother to me. Then Paul says, "Greet Perseus, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord." He calls her his dear friend again. It's like she was there when everyone else quit. She's the one who would say to Paul, "Now, Paul, you go on home. I'll put the chairs away. I'll clean up the kitchen. I'll lock up. You go on home, Paul. You're tired." See, Paul appreciated people like this, and he told them that. Paul knew that ministry was hard work. People get wounded and tired, and They need encouragement and affirmation. Paul refused to take people's hard work for granted. Sometimes our attitude is, well, they're doing it for the Lord, aren't they? Why should I thank them? Why should I affirm them? Don't they get that from God? I think Paul would say, well, yeah, they're doing it for the Lord. And yes, he will affirm them, but one of the ways he's going to do that is through you. When we serve, our eyes should be on the Lord, but he often affirms us through other people. And there's a domino effect to affirmation. When we affirm people, we in turn set them free from their self-doubt to affirm others. When we greet one another like this, all of a sudden, we've got a church full of people affirming and appreciating each other. People feel freed from the chains of insignificance. They feel God is using them, that their part in the body of Christ is crucial to the whole. I think of the men and the women in this church who have set up chairs, folded bulletins, made coffee, served as ushers and greeters, worked in the tech booth or the parking lot, and faithfully written checks from their hard-earned money. I haven't said it enough. Thank you. Thank you for serving. I can't thank you enough. This church and I myself would be nothing without you. Apart from greetings like this, you know, a lot of us would be forgotten. A number of these names are names of common slaves. Julia and Philologus were names given to slaves in Paul's day. Paul greets them right alongside of men like Aristobulus, who we know was a leading member of the royal household. It seems that in the body of Christ, status in the world means nothing. You see, in our life together, we should remember those easily forgotten. And it's interesting, many of the names on this list are of women. In a day when women were subjected to significant discrimination, Paul recognizes them right alongside of men. Phoebe is called a servant. This is the Greek word otherwise translated deacon or minister. Junia is called an apostle. Jesus chose 12 apostles and gave them a unique authority, but there were others who were apostles in a different sense. That word apostle literally means sent one. So perhaps this was referring to them being sent out. I like what F.F. Bruce says about this passage. He says, whatever these women were doing, it was more than just serving tea. These women were ministering right alongside of men. There are people in every church who are easily forgotten, who easily sort of fall between the cracks of church life. In a church with mainly young families, it might be the unmarried, might be single parents, it might be widows or widowers, or even couples who don't have children. And because of that, we need to go out of our way to remember them. How easy it is for us to socialize with our own kind, people who have the ability to offer us something in return. Most of us feel we barely have time to cultivate the friendships we have, much less seek out new ones outside of our normal circle. But as long as we do that, we look just like the world. And people who don't fit our mold quietly slip away and find some place where they feel like they do fit. In our life together, we should remember those who are easily forgotten. These greetings in Romans 16 are for Paul extremely significant because Paul didn't really know if he'd ever have a chance to greet them again. In fact, in chapter 15, he tells them he's planning to visit them in Rome on his way to Spain. He says he hopes they can help him out on his way, and he looks forward to just enjoying their company. But before he heads for Rome, he needs to go to Jerusalem. And for Paul, going to Jerusalem was like walking into a hornet's nest. There were people who wanted Paul dead. And that's why at the end of chapter 15, Paul says, "Join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea." In other words, I really do want to see you guys in Rome, but it's not a slam dunk. I need your prayers. There are people who want my head. In our life together, we should always remember those we may not, we should remember that we may not see each other again. There should always be this sense among us that our lives are fragile. We can't take anything for granted. I said earlier, much of the reason we stayed here at CPC is people, people with names. And through the years, some of those people with names have become a memory. They've gone on to glory. Sometimes Lynn and I look at each other and we say, remember Mike? Or remember Gladys? Or remember Steve? Or remember Donna? Or remember Bill? On and on the list goes. You know what? There's a name for that. The name for that is church. In Christian theology, the church is traditionally divided into two different categories. So there's the church militant. The church militant traditionally comprises Christians who are on earth, like you and I, Christians who struggle against sin and the devil. So you and I here today are part of the church militant. But there's another category we often forget about. It's called the church triumphant. These comprise those who are in heaven, right? Now, although these two groups may be physically separated from each other, one group on earth, the other group in heaven, we nonetheless remain united together in one church, which traditionally has been called the communion of saints. Think of these words that Paul often said, I thank my God for all of you, for all of my remembrance of you. Some of those people we remember are gone from this planet. We remember them too. If you keep a list of names, keep them on the list and hold on to it. I know we like to say, well, you can't take it with you. But I can almost imagine getting to heaven with a list of names. I can imagine looking up a few of those people that are gone. I can imagine seeing them for the first time and saying, I thank my God every time I remember you. I hope you can see why this list of names means so much to me, especially now. I said in my letter this week that besides my salvation and my family, CPC is the greatest blessing I've ever experienced in my life. And that's because of the people, people with names. My prayer is that this next year will be a year of adding to that list of names. And I pray that the names of those already on the list would know how much we need them and how much they mean to us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for the people of CPC who over the years have been such an incredible blessing to Lynn and myself. We thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness, for the hard work, for the risks, for the affection. Thank you for the ministry of so many different people to us and to one another here at CPC. You have been so good to us. And we thank you, and we love you. And we pray, Lord, that this church would continue to be a church that would care about people, people with names, that people who might normally be sort of lost, who might just otherwise be a meaningless face in the crowd, that they might be known, that they might be loved, that they might be recognized, that they might be affirmed and encouraged because they're part of this family of believers. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for calling us to be part of your flock by name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.